Freedom is quite possibly our nation's most sacred tradition. We fight wars for independence here and around the world. We march across this land demanding civil rights for any human being who is denied these. We stand against suffering and injustice because this is our national legacy. These stories have trickled down to us as individuals of the United States, helping to form our characters, becoming a part of each and every one of us, making us who we are.
This year at Southwest Open School, students in the radio class were in search of stories that reflect the national idea of freedom and independence in Montezuma County. These radio pieces were produced by students who went out into the community and captured the stories of people who are living exposed to the realities of freedom.
Martin Luther King Jr. once said, "Love is the only force capable of transforming an enemy into a friend." Throughout the world history, human rights have been denied to people. In the USA, citizens are promised one of the most coveted of these rights, freedom and independence. But does every citizen feel free and independent? Because people won't let go of the past, or because some still believe they are superior to others, freedom is jeopardized by racism. Our radio piece will explore the racial tension in Montezuma County between Anglos and Native Americans. We didn't know where to begin, so after talking amongst our group, we decided to call the police department. We thought the police department would be able to relate to our story because they see things on a daily basis that we don't. They sent over two police officers. One was Native American and the other one was white. The first question of our interview we asked, is there racial tension in Montezuma County? Officer Miguel said,
"I haven't really seen it. I mean, it seems like everybody gets along pretty good. Even the contacts we have, we know everybody. Everybody's pretty respectful as far as, you know, if they're doing something they're not supposed to do, they know it. They know we're just doing our job. I haven't seen a whole lot of problems with it."
Officer Sam said,
"I'd have to agree with that. I mean, I personally haven't seen it. I know I've had a lot of people kind of asking the same questions just out in the community and stuff, like the community and stuff, and I've never, I don't think so. I mean, I've worked for Cortez going on, what is this, 7 years, 8 years, I think? And I've personally never have seen it."
Officer Sam, being a school resource officer, do you see it at schools?
No. Not even, I mean, I don't. I mean, I don't. It's, if I do see it, it's kind of a surprise.
Throughout the interview, the police officers voiced lack of acknowledgement towards significant presence of racial tension in Montezuma County.
Then we interviewed a couple Montezuma County citizens. Gene Peck is a board member of the Intertribal Voice. He was asked, is there racial tension between Native Americans and Anglos?
There is a problem with racial tensions. I don't think Cortez is as bad as other border towns. We have issues on both sides. When you bring multicultures together, the misunderstandings that you see. We can go downtown right now and talk to people, and I'll bet you at least 50 to 75% will say, you being a Native, the government gives you thousands and thousands of dollars. You and I both know that's not true. That's one of the stereotypes we deal with all the time.
Would you say racism is simmering down or getting worse?
I think it's actually getting somewhat better. We still got a long ways to go. We still have people on both sides of this issue that we need to reach. No child is ever born a racist.
So where do they learn this?
You learn it from parents. You learn it from your peers.
Have you ever witnessed this kind of learned bigotry?
Oh, yeah. Many years ago when they opened the BI facility there in Toyoak, we went down there and there was a female deputy that I knew. And I was really excited because there's a lot of sheriff people there, you know. And I'm saying, man, this is great, you know. I mean, that you're coming out in support of the community. She says, yeah, we have to because we have to work with these people. Now, yeah, I was born Anglo, but I've been around the Native community. They've been good to me. If she could have seen my heart, she would have known she was talking with those people.
Next, we interviewed student advocate Mark Wing from Southwest Open School. We asked him, have you seen racial tension between Native Americans and Anglos in Montezuma County?
Somewhat. And times they are issues between Caucasians and Native American Indians. It's just that it's not spoken about, and it's just mainly the reaction and the body languages that's given out to the people.
Do the Native American students feel respected or valued in our community's schools?
I would say about 80% of our Native American students go off to boarding schools because they have experienced problems in the public schools regarding in their grades.
When a deceased Native is found in the park, do you think that they are treated with indifference?
Yeah, they just kind of push it aside and consider it, you know, it's not important. It's like it's a Native American to really investigate or really find out what's wrong with them or what happened to them. They look at them as less important.
We talked to Cedric Lane, who is the Drug Free Project Coalition Coordinator in Toyonk. He had a lot to say about the racial tension in Montezuma County.
I think every situation's different, though, you know. Like me going into that coffee shop, and everyone is looking at me, you know, like, damn, what the hell are you doing here? And I'm feeling the tension. I'm the only Native in there, you know, instead of having that ugly look or, you know, looking at me like I'm nothing or whatever. You know, hey, how you doing? Good. Good morning, you know? Mm-hmm. Something like that. I'm not no bad guy. I know I'm from Toyoak, but hey, you know, I'm just like you.
Do you feel that Cortez Native Americans are mislabeled or have a bad reputation as being drunk and homeless in the park?
I think right now is probably when people get fired up is the Native Americans homeless. No one wants to see that. And I think the city of Cortez is kind of just, well, it's your responsibility. And majority of them are not even Ute Mountains. They migrate from down south, but I think the Ute Mountain tribe gets a lot of the blame for people walking, you know, the streets. And it's kind of like, you know, everyone sees drunk Indians, for instance. That's the stereotype, you know. It doesn't matter if you're not a drunk Indian. You're already labeled. Just stuff like that, you know. And it's obviously teenagers from this community here in Cortez see that. So they take it to school, and it's just kind of like, how do you come back with that?
Does the city of Cortez or Montezuma County work with Toyoak, or is Toyoak left to take care of itself?
There's just no relationship. There's no collaboration, you know. I don't see any of the county commissioners or city council going to Toyoak or vice versa, you know.
When talking to your son, what kind of advice would you give him to help him understand the environment he is being raised in?
So whenever I talk to my son, I'm going to be like, man, these guys are on their own. So you got to understand that you're going to be on your own too. You got to show people that you are strong, Native American. But you gotta make it. You gotta be self-sufficient.
I've heard white people say that Natives are lazy and don't have to work because the U.S. government provides a monthly paycheck. Is this true?
No. Everything we get is within our own tribe, like the stipend we get every month. We created that. It doesn't come from the government. The government doesn't say, Cedric Lang, here, you get $300 a month. That's from the U.S. government. They don't do that. It's what we created and how we're managing our money. And I think that's just an insult, you know, mm-hmm. of what people use, you know, just to downgrade the people. And Indians are still relying on the government. They're still getting checks from them, you know. It's misunderstanding.
What do folks need to know about Native Americans and their history to understand the ideology of where they're coming from?
Understand our Native culture, or, you know, understand what we're working with, what was handed to us, why my great-grandparents were moved to that area. You know, that wasn't a choice. We had beautiful land up here by Denver, and, you know, beautiful, but we were pushed. You're living right there, and you can obviously, it's not as beautiful as up there and up in that area, yeah. You know, so it's just a sense of understanding of where we're working with. And, you know, and I'm not saying Cortez doesn't have alcohol problem or, you know, drugs. I'm pretty sure they do. It's just not put out there like, you know, the toy op community. You know, everything we do makes headlines, especially if it's negative.
How do you feel when people say that toy op is a community that is full of crime and overall a bad and scary place?
We're not that bad. You know, we're not that bad. Hey, we, you know, we're good people. You know, people from Cortez got to understand that we're trying to make it, you know, and I understand that, you know, our youth have their issues here. Yeah, you know, but, you know, we're, as a tribe, we're working on that. You know, we got everybody hustling, education, our judicial system, our, you know, rec center, you know, our tribal leaders, they're working on that. Hopefully 5-10 years from now, you know, we'll have more Native athletes at the high school, you know, with good grades, good attitude, wanting to learn, you know. And I'm not, that's the perfect kid, you know. You're not going to get many of those, even in this community, mm-hmm. You know.
What do the youth in Montezuma County need to understand about the local Native tribes?
Need to teach their kids, you know. Not everybody in Toyoak's bad. Not every drunk Indian that is at the park is coming from the Ute Mountain Reservation. It's just kind of educating your own kids, you know, about the Ute Mountain Ute culture, because we're not going nowhere, you know. We're going to be there and being self-sufficient.
After we spoke with the adults and got their viewpoints of racial tension in Montezuma County, we wanted to dig deeper and see if the Cortez youth sees the same. We discussed the issue of racial tension with a Native student at Southwest Open School. He asked for us not to use his name. We asked if he sees the racial tension in Montezuma County, and if so, what would be an example.
Yes, the white people want to label us stereotypes and, you know, gangbangers and all that, but we're not. We're just Native Americans.
Has the tension ever affected you?
Yeah, since my childhood. First grade, I got jumped by a bunch of white kids, like 5 or 6, including the female. The principals didn't do nothing, so yeah, they just sent me home because they said I started the fight.
Do you feel depressed about what they did?
No, not really, but it makes me angry.
What do you do when you're angry?
Give attitude, give people looks.
Do you see it at other schools?
Yeah, at the high school and elementary school.
What kind of tension do you see?
I don't know, hate.
Do you think the problem will be resolved?
No, because they don't care.
After we interviewed the student from Southwest Open School, we wanted to get more viewpoints of what the youth experiences. We interviewed Betty Ray's high school Native Americans class about their opinion on racial tension in Montezuma County. First, we asked, do you see a problem with racial tension?
Definitely. I think that's a for sure. There definitely is.
Yeah, definitely. I can see it here in the school every day. Like, there's, like, all the Native kids have their own set group, and they kind of stick to themselves and separate themselves from all the other Caucasian kids.
Yeah, the school is divided into different groups. Nobody kind of, like, interacts with other groups as well. It's kind of just, they stay to themselves.
When we asked Betty how she feels students are supported here, here's what she said.
As a staff here, I can see that, and a lot of the Native students will come to me and say, wish you could be here all day. You know, they need a model, they need somebody to look up to, they need somebody to talk to, and they want acceptance, I would say, most likely, from the Native students, and they want to see somebody like me around them all the time.
When talking about an acquaintance, Betty alluded to know people's true colors come out.
I would say she doesn't know, but there's time it will come out, you know, when tension arises. When you get mad, they say that you say the truth about the person. So when she gets at that point, it will come out. But we try to leave it at the level where we won't step on each other.
Do you feel like furthering your education will someday help the betterment of the reservation?
Yeah, that was kind of my plan, to be like become a petroleum engineer after high school, get my degree, go like overseas and get like experience, and then come back maybe like around here or on the reservation, maybe like start my own company, like help the employment down there. There's hardly any places to get a job. It's like the highest poverty rate. There's like no water, no electricity. People, they just can't do anything because there's nothing out there for them, and they can't really leave because they're not really educated. So kind of what my grandparents wanted me to do, just be like, become educated, and just hearing the way they grew up, they just didn't want that to be for me. So that's kind of like my goal that I made for myself.
to a certain degree, yeah. Like, what I want to do is I want to be, like, an aerospace engineer. Obviously, like, there's not very many opportunities for that to, like, get back around here, like, on the reservation. But definitely I want to get, like, a higher education and just kind of set an example for other Native students who, because Ms. Ray said, the Native population is kind of underachieving, and like a lot of it is because like the Native students, they really don't believe in themselves, and they think they're supposed to be in the bottom. But just want to like set an example for everybody and show everybody, like all the Native students, that they, like, you can do this, you can do whatever you want. Just don't be tied down, don't set limits to yourself. Just want to be able to show everybody else that.
If there's a resolution to the problem, it lies in both sides taking responsibility. Here's Betty Ray.
I think there is part at fault on the Native students. It can't be everybody, you know. There's just probably equal. And we need to face the truth and bring out the truth and let them know that, you know, we can do it. We can do better.
Is racism inherited or a part of Native philosophy or upbringing?
Traditionally, we're not supposed to be looking at a child as white child, a black child, a Ute, or any other tribe. You know, this is coming from a home and it's not being taught at school, and I don't think a lot of this is taught to the students here at school or at home, is that every child is your child, they're your baby. You know, this is the way I relate to them. So if it's not taught to them, then they see that tension and that racial type of attitude.
We interviewed Art Nisgahi, who is the president of Southwest Intertribal Voice and a leader in our community in getting rights for Native Americans. He came to SWOS for the interview, but before we asked him a question, with tears in his eyes, he shared with us how devastating racism can be.
It was at the intersection of Broadway and 7th.
Mm-hmm.
And some people who were eating, they said they saw this blazer tear off up Broadway and make a turnaround right there real fast, and then it took off really hard, really fast, coming back, going south on Broadway again. And we don't know what happened. We never got the whole story, but my brother was standing on the median in the middle of Broadway there, and somehow that blazer flipped end over end and crushed him and killed him. And one of the boys told one of the officers that they were out to get an Indian that day. And so that's what happened. And I lost a brother, I believe, due to racial conflict, that tension that is in this community.
What else has compelled you to take action on behalf of Native people?
Thanksgiving weekend of 2006, that there were 3 separate beatings of Natives in the park. And I just thought, you know, this is still going on. You know, it's still happening. Somebody needs to do something.
So what did you do?
We started what we call a community dialogue to address violence against Native Americans. We had our first session up in the Cortez Cultural Center. There's a big meeting room up there. 250 people showed up. Most were Natives, and some people from the white community were there.
How did the meeting go amongst them?
The Natives were the ones who started talking, and just to me it was like all this history, this all this anger, just vile stuff just came out. That, you know, Native, to me it was like the Native community never spoke it, they never said anything about it, all this stuff that had happened to them, beatings and killings and swindling and being treated as non-human beings, and it poured out. And it's just something to hear, and a lot of it they were saying, you know, the white people this, white people that, and pretty soon the white people in the audience started getting defensive, you know, like, wow, you know, it wasn't me. We didn't do that. So it got confrontational, and pretty soon people were yelling at each other. And
after all the things you heard, what was the next step?
We decided that we needed to have more meetings to discuss and address this issue. And then we even thought that it'd be good to have the Colorado Civil Rights Department come down and have some, let them do the mediating of the what happened there. So we decided we to have another meeting the next month, and then after that we had another meeting, and pretty soon we had been meeting about a year, and we decided that we needed to form some kind of a organization. At first it was called the Montelors Human Rights Commission. We tried to form that, but we didn't have the city or county or anybody wasn't willing to fund a position or create an office, so we just had to call it a coalition. And right now that group is a small group, I'd say mostly made out of the white people in the community. The small group want to help alleviate, you know, the situation.
This issue seems to impact more Native Americans, but you said your coalition is made up of mostly white people. What do you think about that?
The people who commit that kind of behavior and who have those kind of attitudes aren't going to listen to me, no matter how much I speak out, no matter how much what I say. I think their peers, you know, their white people in the community who start to talk to them and start have a bigger impact.
This land is your land. This land is my land.
Our first interview from this story were with two Cortez police officers who left us feeling that our topic about racism in our area may have no basis, but we were unable to shake the feeling that there really is underlying tension here in Montezuma County. This understandable realization led us to continue our search to uncover this truth. After hearing about the experiences of so many members of our community, it can't be denied. We are living with tension standing between Anglos and Natives. Some of us have been teaching others to be prejudiced. Maybe those who are racist are so because our country's national shame for the mistreatment of Natives. Shame leads to embarrassment. Embarrassment can manifest as racism behavior. As kids, we are told when you can't be nice to others, it is probably because you are feeling bad about yourself. So maybe we need to take a good look at ourselves. We need to take ownership for how we have contributed to this hate-based tension. Until we quit using ignorance to hide our insecurities and accept our history, we will not be able to embrace a future without tension.
You and me.
This piece was produced by the radio class at Southwest Open School. The creators of this piece were
Jerry Medina,
Cody Gore,
Tabri Sanders,
Adam Yazzie.
We would like to thank Jeff Pope and Tom Yoder of KSJD, the local participants interviewed for these stories and the KSJD listenership. To hear these stories again, go to ksjd.org. Click on programs or go to our site at southwestopenschool.org.
These stories reflect the citizens of Montezuma County and their experiences with freedom and independence, showing in this community how